fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's the third week of Lent. I hope you're having a fruitful journey with the Lord during this season of Lent. As you get deeper into it, it can be a little bit grueling and taxing, but it's such a rich time of the church year for us to be able to really be led by the church. The church takes us by the hand through this penitential season of kind of simplifying our life, stripping ourselves of things that distract us, that we don't need to be distracted by, so we can dial in and focus on the Lord and the Lord's call in our life and really giving to God what belongs to God. And this week, we're given, at least the beginning of this week, readings that are, I think, very applicable to our lives. I guess the scripture is always applicable, but in particular, the discussion on faith. Yesterday at Mass, the second reading was from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and he talks about the importance of faith. And then today is the solemnity of St. Joseph, Mary's husband, right? And he is compared in this second reading today in the Gospel at Mass, Romans chapter 4, we're remembering St. Joseph and his response to God's call in the face of tremendous confusion and difficulty. Mary is found with child, and certainly Joseph knew he was not the biological father of that child, and imagine the struggle he went through to try to figure out what was going on, and the angel appears to Joseph and tells him what God's doing with Mary and the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he acts on faith. He trusts. He receives the word that comes to him from God, and he acts upon it. He leans on it. He accepts it. And we're given the second reading today from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, which talks about Abraham's faith. You know, first Eucharistic prayer at Mass, Abraham is referred to that he's our father in faith, that he's the father of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And because God's plan of salvation takes a particular turn and has a foundation in Abraham, who ends up trusting God in a radical way and giving us a clear picture of what faith looks like. So I want to read from Romans chapter 4 today. If we have time, I'll circle back to chapter 5, which was yesterday's reading at Mass. I'll just read through the verses that were given at Mass today and then reflect on them for a minute. It says, "Brothers and sisters, it was not through the law that the promise was made to Abraham and his descendants that he would inherit the world, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. For this reason, it depends on faith, so that it may be a gift, and the promise may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not to those who only adhere to the law, but to those who follow the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us, as it is written, 'I have made you father of many nations.' He's our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, 'Thus shall your descendants be.' That is why it was credited to him as righteousness." What we're seeing here is just a glimpse, which Paul describes more fully throughout chapter 4 of Romans, of the unique person that Abraham was in the plan of salvation, and how Abraham's personal response to the Lord's command and the Lord's call and the promise that the Lord gave him that he would be a father of many nations, despite all kinds of reasons why it would be easy for him to miss that and to doubt that, he trusted God. And what's revealed in Abraham, we see in Joseph, we see in the apostles, we see in the lives of the saints, we see it perfected in the life of Jesus on the cross, is the radical witness that the most important thing we can do with the life we've been given is to trust our Creator, to trust God who is our Father, and to trust that His plan for us is good, and that to follow His plan and purpose, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter how challenging His call and promise to us, no matter how difficult it may look to us, the best place to be is to be in this place of radical abandonment of our lives in trust to God. Hebrews chapter 11 said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is central to the Christian life. It's central to entering into the relationship with God. So I want to read through chapter 4 a little bit and take a look at why Abraham was such a model and why God the Father could build so much of his plan of salvation on Abraham. So even to this day, Christians are acknowledging that Abraham is our father in faith. There's a whole section in the beginning of chapter 4 that I just read, but then it goes on and gives you a little bit of an idea of what Paul's talking about, how Abraham believed the promise. What was the promise? Again, that he would be the father of many nations. But he goes on to describe a little bit who Abraham was, and it's helpful to be able to see it. I'm going to start with verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is quoting from Genesis. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So what did Abraham believe about God? That all things were possible with God, that God could bring something out of nothing, that he could bring life out of death, that he could call into being things that don't exist. Abraham, then, what the scripture is describing here, had a right relationship to God. He perceived God in the way God ought to be perceived and responded to. God's greatness, God's limitless power and glory and majesty, and that God is not a man that he should lie, but that God who has all power, when God speaks something, it's true, and we can give our whole life to it, surrender ourselves. We can take it to the bank, as it were. In the human heart is the temptation to essentially not completely trust anybody or anything. We've been wounded by original sin. It's wounded our hearts and our capacity to trust God, and we tend to want to control our lives and control all the options or outcomes in our lives to secure for ourselves a place of safety or to ensure we're going to get where we want to go. And when we encounter Christ and we encounter the call to become disciples, it's a call to let go. It's a call to surrender to Christ and to become, now, to make him the center of our lives, to focus our heart, mind, soul, and strength on him and in following him, not in shaping our own life or carving out a way of life for ourselves that will secure a goal or an end that we're pursuing. We give up that part of our life. We surrender our freedom. It's a rational response to a God who is trustworthy, but it's a very difficult thing for us to do, but it's central to the faith. So Paul is talking here how Abraham was making that very kind of surrender based not on what he could see about himself, that he would be the father of a great nation, or that he had the capacity for that, but he surrendered to it on the basis of who God is. And as a result, he ends up giving to God what belongs to God. Verse 18, it says, in hope, he, that is Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith. When he considered his own body, which is as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. So you see something about Abraham, but you also see something about God. When God decides to establish a people, which he was doing through Abraham, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, God wants to make him the father of a great nation that would be his chosen people, from which the Messiah would come, who would model for the whole Gentile world the reality that God exists, that God is our Father, that God has given us his commandments, and that to follow him is the way of wisdom and life. It's a thing that makes sense. So when God decides he wants to call forth a people from man and from a woman, he does not choose a 25-year-old Olympic athlete who's strong and young and ready to sire a family, and a beautiful young woman the same age. What does he do? He goes to a man who's nearly 100 years old. And why the passage says that his body was as good as dead. Because when you're nearly 100 years old, all the reproductive functions generally aren't working in a man and a woman at that time, right? And then he said, so he acted in faith, and his faith was not weakened, even when he heard the promise that he would be a father of many nations, when he both heard the word but then knew his own body and looked at his own physical existence, and in his own mind, he could have thought, well, this is impossible. This can't be. Therefore, this cannot be God, because it's impossible for this to happen. God was confounding Abraham's mind to reveal Abraham's heart. In what would Abraham trust? In God or in the limits of his own understanding? Very applicable to your life and mine, and also demonstrated beautifully in the life of Saint Joseph, in that extraordinarily challenging moment he had to live through when Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. It says, so not only was he conscious of his own weakness, but when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, so his wife Sarah had been barren all these years together. So you have the worst case scenario possible, what looks completely impossible, and who does God choose? God chooses, in this case, the weak. The very couple that can't produce children, God's going to demonstrate his glory, his power, his majesty, and it's going to be demonstrated through, and it's going to come to be, in part through the faith of Abraham. I love the little phrase I mentioned earlier from James. God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Abraham is the friend of God because Abraham trusted God. Because Abraham related to God in a way that corresponded to who God really is. So the reading goes on. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's verse 20 and 21. These are worth meditating. I mean, the whole section is, but no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. Do you know the promises of God to you? I'm with you always until the end of the age. God sent forth his Son into the world to save you, to save me. God loves us. God is our Father. We're made by him. We're made for him. We can absolutely trust him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's promised us eternal life, a share in what belongs to God, the very life that's in Jesus Christ himself. How many times do we waver in believing and trusting God? Here's a good reflection for us in this season of Lent, because what Lent's about is to bring us to this point, not just to discipline ourselves, which is helpful, it's important, but all of that is for this. It's for our relationship with God the Father, which Jesus brought us into through his passion, death, resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to come into a deeper relationship of trust with the Father. So I want to take this up tomorrow. Have your friends tune into the program. We're going to talk about how to trust God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.